Welcome back to the Charlotte Angel Connection, the Charlotte area podcast linking entrepreneurs, investors, and the broader Charlotte community. As you know, our goal here is to interview the individuals who are building, shaping, and influencing entrepreneurship in the Charlotte region so you can stay invested in Charlotte's growth. As you likely remember from last week, we're continuing the second part of a two-part series with three of the companies from Queen City FinTech Class Number 7. We are fortunate to have Sheena from Capway, Jim from Cubrix, and Christian and Nate, both from Coins, join us last week. We recorded a little more than an hour of the conversation and are bringing you part two today. So last week we focused a little bit on the class itself. This week I wanted to dig a little bit further into a conversation with the founders and just kind of explore some different conversations around what's it like being a startup. So some of the things we talked about was, you know, what's been their biggest failure or challenge, as some of them like to put it, to date. How do they reach out to partner companies? In essence, these big banks and financial institutions that they need to partner with, how do they establish a dialogue with them? And I know part of that's very helpful being in the accelerator program, but not every door gets knocked or not every door gets opened through the accelerator program. I wanted to talk about what success is for each company right now. And we touched base on a couple other topics as well. We closed with curious whether or not any of them are raising money. So really good conversation. Again, QC FinTech Class 7, their demo day is on November 20th, which is a Monday. It's a couple days from now. At that same point in time, there is the there's the Southeast FinTech Venture Conference on that same day. Both of those events are held at Barings, and both of those events can be found and registered for on www.qcfintech.co. So hope you enjoyed today's show. So welcome back to part two of podcast interview with QC FinTech classes or QC FinTech class members from Cubrix, Capway, and Coins. We talked a little bit last time about the QC FinTech program. We talked a little bit about some of the challenges that you face from a marketing and education component. I want to talk about failure. One of the things I mentioned earlier on, and I'll go back and maybe I'll reterm it challenge. But as we were talking earlier, I told you, you know, I had my own startup and it failed. And so failure is a natural part of the startup world. One, in the actual entity, and two, in just day-to-day stuff, right? So, Jim, we'll come back down here. We'll start with you again and talk about maybe the biggest challenge or potentially failure that you've had in developing the business to this point.
Well, we've only been at it for a year, so okay. We don't have that type of history yet. I think the challenge internally has been putting systems, as I said, in place to allow us to communicate freely. It's truly a virtual world for us right now, other than Brendan spending 3 months here with me here in Charlotte.
Yeah.
That's been a bit of a challenge. I think the paper chase for the investment can get grueling. And I wouldn't call it a mistake, but what's happened is we've gotten better at it, but we've had to learn to balance our time between developing the business and finding needed capital. That's been, and I don't think that we made it early on, I'm not sure that we managed that properly. We've gotten much better at that, and we've been able to delegate to each founder enough tasks that kind of lightens the load on everybody else. But in terms of failures, I would have to go back to previous companies that I started. And I can tell you this, that I've learned from those mistakes. These are all cliched statements I recognize, but in the real world, you do get better when you learn from those mistakes. And if you don't incorporate what you've learned, you're doomed to repeat it. So that's helped us. That's helped us streamline a lot of discussions with partners. You know, I'll give you a mistake that we made. Yeah. Going into a partnership, thinking that we understood what the partner required from us or what the partner wanted from us. And we've all gotten better at being very upfront at the beginning. pilot, or is it a pilot that we're doing for the marquee value? As a small company, we do not go down any path unless it's a paid opportunity, because not being arrogant, and it's not just for the money. So that we make sure that there is some type of accountability on the other side. And if there's not a budget behind, say, a POC, trying to get information about the results of that POC, go on for years. You just never get the information you need. So I think we've gotten better at stating that everything is, every piece of, or every partnership that we engage in is actually a piece of business that we're going after.
Fair enough. Sheen, the challenges or failures, however we want to put it in.
Well, I don't believe in the word failure. I believe in lessons.
Yeah.
Failure is when you fall down and you don't get back up.
Yeah. So lessons. So
we've had some lessons.
Yeah.
I think the biggest one for us is always just making the adjustments when it comes to assumptions. We make a lot of, you have to in business, you make a lot of assumptions and you learn from them. For us, it's just about, we say we don't sell banking. We don't sell banking. But we don't sell banking, we sell opportunity. I think our biggest challenge has been putting all the pieces together so that regardless if we're talking to a consumer or if we're talking to an investor or if we're even talking to another financial institution, that they understand the purpose of Capway is that we sell opportunity. Would probably be like, this is our biggest challenge in putting all the pieces together, so that's kind of very clear up front.
Fair enough. So, Christian,
I think we can talk about this together.
Absolutely.
We've had a lot of mess ups. I'd use the other word if I could. But
it's not public anyway. It's just okay. yeah, exactly.
I mean, it just I've learned way. I mean, so much just in the time that we've been working on this. I mean, we've had anywhere from, like, we had return checks, and I had, we refund all the checks to, all the payments back to our customers, and these checks particular were actually back in our name. So I refunded all the money back to the customers, they got the money, but I shredded the rest of them.
Yeah.
So, and that would be a huge mess up.
Yeah.
And I learned very fast not to ever do that again. But, things like that, it's just kind of like, I think the biggest thing that I learned is just kind of like double checking all your work before you go and do something. I think that was the hardest thing I had to learn that way. But, things like that, I think you can expound on like kind of when we first started too.
Yeah, well, I think one of the biggest challenges we have like right now is definitely like customer support. And part of that is that, like Chris said earlier, we started our beta last year, and we just kind of built on top of it from there.
Yeah.
And we've made some key assumptions on what we thought people wanted to see when they opened the app.
Yeah.
And then we went back and started listening to people, and we're like, no, we actually want to see this when we open the app. And when you don't do that, people will email you and ask a lot of questions. You have to go back and re-educate them on things like that. Additionally, I think when we first came out of beta and launched our mobile app, the payment partner that we were working with at the time, we couldn't work with them anymore. The partnership ended. This was literally like the day before we were going to launch our app, so we could not process any money coming out of beta, and we were about to launch our app the next day. So we just had to scramble and form a partnership with a new payment partner in literally 4 days. So that was kind of stressful. but it all worked out. We've hit it quite a few like situations like along the way where we just kind of like, all right, we just got to figure this out. And I think it's definitely made us stronger. And now when we kind of like run into like fires, we're a lot more like cool, calm, and collected. Like, all right, let's take a second. How do we figure this out? Let's just get it done. So
Yeah,
sure, he does. I just passionate about what we're doing, but
I think I'm more even killed.
He keeps.
It's like a nerd.
Exactly. So you've all touched on it a little bit, right? I mean, we're in a fintech program, which means we're dealing with finance and finance technology, and more importantly, finance companies, which means at the end of the day, you're dealing with, you know, other partners to help drive the success of the business. And there's a gazillion finance companies out there. How do you get through? So, I mean, I know we certainly have some here in Charlotte, but it's not all of them. How do you get through to your partners? I mean, you're a young startup, right? You're fresh out of school. Same thing here with Sheena, not fresh out of school, but, you know, she's not as experienced maybe as Jim is, but, you know, how do you get through and say, hey, I'm a young startup, but we want to do this that you've never done before. Let me do it.
I think the biggest thing is kind of approaching in a sense of maturity. I think when you approach these institutions is kind of showing them, like, hey, I'm not just a kid, or, like, you know, I didn't just graduate. Like, I don't lead with that. You know, I try to lead with, like, the service that we're providing and kind of the value that we're bringing. And then from there, if they ask me, oh, how old are you? Oh, yeah, I just graduated. But, you know, that's no here nor there. But, I think it's kind of like approaching them kind of how, understanding who you're going to approach and then approaching them in the same fashion that you know that they like to be approached or they would be approached.
So, Christian, we were talking in between the break, though. You sent out 100 LinkedIn emails with the current challenge that you're facing right now, right? I mean, it's not just a...
Yeah, persistency, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the solutions that we solve, like, aren't just like, oh, yeah, like, oh, I just found the solution. Like, there's a lot of, like, work on the background that people don't see. And it's like, you know, me messaging, like, 100 different people that had, like, worked for this specific company and then finally just getting one bite. And then from there, you know, I'm finally able to talk to the right person. Or if they're not able to talk to me, they can relieve me to the right person. So it's just, like, being very, very persistent in what you're trying to achieve.
It's weird because it's almost like an enterprise sales strategy, but we're like a B2C company.
Yeah.
So, Sheena, how do you approach your partners and who have tried to do what you're doing and are probably in some way, shape, or form still trying to do what you're doing? How do you approach people and say, here's my business and I need this from you?
I've definitely spoken with people who have tried what we've done and end up closing their doors. Like I said, I learned just as much from, like, failure stories. And I say failure stories because they close their doors. Like,
yeah.
Like, that sort of didn't work. And I hear about what they did great, what they didn't do great. The truth is, we go in and even as being a founder that I am, like, there's two steps below. I take two extra steps than anybody else. The truth of the matter is I'm in a tech world, which is male-dominated. I'm in a finance world that is male-dominated.
Yeah.
I am a black female from Mississippi.
Yeah.
I don't mark any check mark of why I should be a CEO of a fintech company.
Yeah.
That act honestly is a challenge in itself.
Yeah.
And it goes one or two ways. Yeah, people who are actually willing to give you a chance are the ones that you have to prove it 10 other ways before they're willing to give you a chance. So when I approach people, I definitely, for one, I don't approach and say, hey, I'm a black woman. Clearly, you see I'm a black woman. I don't need to approach with that. I definitely don't try to use that as a tool to get in. I use what I know I can bring as value. The point of a partnership is that I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Yeah.
And that's what I go in with. I don't leave with anything else that takes away from the fact that this is why I am here. And if you have any doubts, I go in and make sure that within the first 2 minutes of that conversation, those doubts are gone. I go in with what I need to go in with, what to ask, how can I help you, how can you help me, and whatever comes after that, comes after that. But I go in pretty much shooting the bullet straightforward.
But you can do that because you went on a 12-month listening tour. You know your market. You've done your research.
Like, I can probably tell some larger banks about this market that they would never know. Because once again, the truth is, they can't go to Southside Chicago and get some of the answers that I'm going to get.
I understand. They can go there.
But they probably won't get some of the same answers that, you know, that we will be able to get. And so, once again, a partnership is about I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Yeah.
And when I go in, it's just that. I don't care about any of the rest of it. At the end of the day, we are here to change lives at Capway. But as a business, we're all here also to make money. And everybody wants to make money. So when you leave with that, you usually get pretty far.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Jim, how do you approach the challenge of partnerships? And you mentioned earlier, certainly one of the reasons I kind of trailed off on that tangent. So, how do you
think all of us, the four founders, have experience with projects, internal projects that never get off the ground in large institutions. So whether there's a change in leadership, a loss of the sponsorship, a reorg, whatever it might be, a lot of these projects just never get completed. So I think the larger institutions turn to smaller companies like ours, especially if we're innovative enough. But we try to also, as an example, we're working on a particular POC regarding a new regulatory initiative that's going on in the EU that will affect companies that do business anywhere.
Okay.
What we're trying to do is do a proof of concept, but also at the end of it, hand them what they need to actually create a product. So in the terms of a professional services firm that's sector specific, whether it's medical, legal, at the end of this POC, not only will they, at a minimum, will have great research and they can decide to move forward with an initiative or not, but we've at least laid out the guidelines for them to take this great research and actually create a product that they can monetize. And that has resonated with a lot of the partners that we've started talking to recently.
No, that's helpful. So, and you've alluded to it several times throughout the last 30 or 45 minutes. This is not your first business. Correct.
Correct.
What's the past experience?
Wow. Starting with many, many years ago, robotic surgery.
Okay.
Selling capital, expensive capital equipment to medical institutions. Got involved here in town very, very early on with commercial internet. We were one of the first ISPs in the region. Successful completion of that. We got acquired by a phone company. Went into streaming video in 1999. Nobody knew what it was. And tried to explain to people, I mean, I can still hear one of our advisors saying, you know what, this is in town, so I'm going to say it in the dialect, but that dog won't hunt. And I said, sir, what do you mean? He said, nobody's going to watch video on their computer.
Yeah.
Famous last words. Cloud computing was a success for me early on, got involved in that. I find this, not to make the case again, I find this technology to be the most exciting, the most foundational transformation in my short career. Honestly, God, this is going to change things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Blockchain has shown the ability to do that. So, Sheena, you bring experience from a startup as well, correct?
Yeah.
What was your past experience?
Started my first tech startup in college. Had an idea for an app. I was like, well, I'm going to figure it out. I was in school double majoring in psychology and film.
Okay.
So, no form of technical background at all. But that, you know, I actually, they say once you find your passion, you know it.
Yeah.
And I found my passion after that first app. And even though it didn't do great, I was like, I want to do another one.
Yeah.
And so ultimately it led to I call the startup Shin Allen Apps. I can think of a better name at the time. But that company took me from college in Mississippi, eventually to Silicon Valley.
Okay.
Stayed in San Jose. Ended up in Austin. Did means to download, bootstrapped it, you know, we made money. Wonderful experience, made really lots of connections. And it's definitely helped me in Capway. It's what I've learned from that startup to this one is ask for help earlier.
Yeah.
And I do, I ask for help all the time. I'm a student all the time. Even with the underserved market, I know it because I have family members, I have friends who are part of it, so I know it probably better than other people have tried this market,
yep.
But I still ask. I'm still a student to it. And so I've definitely learned that from my first start. Ask earlier and continue to be a student throughout the process.
Kristen and Nate, I want to come back to you in a quick second, but before I come back to you, experiences learned, kind of like Sheena, you've done a few before, right? Mm-hmm. So what have you learned from those that are helping you today?
Currently?
Yep.
Yeah, I would say it always takes double or triple the time to raise the money that you're hoping to raise.
Yeah.
It's never going to be as much as you need. You need to show a level, this is really important to me, you need to show a level of professionalism in a program like this. You know what I've learned? Not to always take from the program. We've tried to make some introductions that might be valuable to QC FinTech. We've used our networking to facilitate whatever we can to help them. If we leave here and we were viewed as good students and we contributed to the program, we'll be very happy with that.
Yeah. Okay. So Christian and Nate, you're young, you're fresh out of school, so no previous background in and startup world, but that's not always a bad thing, right? So what's the advantage of coming at it from where you sit?
Well, I mean, Nate, you can do so.
Actually, I had two previous startups before going.
That's what I meant to say, Nate.
I learned so much.
Both of those startups failed, so I definitely learned some valuable lessons.
Yeah.
All the way back to like beginning like customer discovery, not assuming that just because it makes sense for a market to use your product that they're actually going to use your product. Just so many valuable lessons, and I think that I definitely needed to fail at those startups to even be ready for something like Quants today. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So lessons learned, right?
Absolutely.
So, Christian, what's...
Yeah, so I actually worked at two previous startups, like my last year in college, right after graduating. And I was like the first six of the Atlanta market for, it was called Shift Gig, and that was like a gig economy startup. And then I worked at HireWire, which is also kind of in the same space, employers, employees connecting one another. And I was like the first 10 there. And so I just kind of really learned, like, hands-on, like, what it takes to kind of get something off the ground. I always wanted to do my own thing. I never knew what it was. I never thought it was going to be in technology either. I think what the biggest thing that I learned was how to execute. And not only that, but also how to, like what Sheena said, was just kind of be a student and ask when you need to ask. I used to be very, like, focused on that. I'm going to figure it out on my own. A lot of things that get done isn't solely on your own. It's really by, you know, getting the help and support from the people around you or people that you build networks with. So I think that's what I really learned how to do really well. And that's what's really helped me. And that's what I've learned the most out of, my experiences.
Yeah. So speaking of the folks around you, so we talked a little bit about the mentors and advisors and what's offered from outside of these walls to y'all inside of the walls. This is a different component of the program too, right? How much do you learn from the other 12 companies, right, in the program? How much do y'all work together as you knock down doors and get knocked down by doors? Is there a lot of camaraderie? Is there backfighting other than the occasional ping pong game you do? So how does it work inside where nobody from the outside sees, right?
I'm probably the most vocal here. Okay. So I think I am the most vocal here. But I think also with that, like, I just like to build relationships with anybody and everybody. I like to get along with everybody and help in any way I can. Like, with Sheena, just told you, like, you know, I have a list that I can hopefully provide and help her out with. And then I just try to figure out what are needs that people have and they need help with. And then, like, if I can help in that way, then, you know, down the line, maybe they can help us out in some other way. But it's building that relationship. It all goes back to building that relationship with people, and not just like on the business side of things, but just kind of like building a close relationship and figure out, you know, what pain points do they have? Because, I mean, every business has some sort of problem. And I think when you can just talk one-on-one, just talk like a human being on, like, you know, how your business is going, you get more out of it.
Yeah, I think the only issues we have here with each other is definitely ping pong. Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to be like, you know, the champ.
Yeah.
Other than that, no, it's a really great group. Definitely, if I can help, anybody can help, I have no problem with asking. Because I know more than likely they're going to, without question, do it. Yeah, great group. Like you said, it's also good for the networking because I just have friends who've done other, like, accelerators, whether it's like 500, Techstars. And what's crazy is a lot of times companies come out of those accelerators, and you'll hear a year down and later that one team's joined up with, like, another team, or one person left a group and went to another. Not because somebody stole them, but maybe that startup didn't work out down the line, so they went to somebody else that was at the next same class as them.
Yeah.
And not saying that would happen with this group, because I don't know what happens a year from now.
Yeah.
But we all get along well enough that we respect each other that if it was to happen, it won't surprise me.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, inside the walls.
Yeah, I'd say the whole this is the first accelerator I've participated in, even though I've had startups, and I didn't understand the concept of a teamwork, to be honest with you. I thought it was a competition in a bit.
Yep.
And when Dan spoke originally, I took it to heart, and within a week I understood that concept. It really is about helping everybody else. It's a way of keeping yourself from being too tunnel vision and selfish by trying to reach out to everybody. I don't think any of our models compete with each other. And there might be a little bit more discussion between B2B companies and B2C companies. But other than that, it's a nice team. Gosh, we've only been into it a month, and I already feel like I've made a lot of new friends here.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll wrap up with one last question, and we'll go Jim, Sheena, and then Christian and Nate. Define success for you, Jim.
Success would be the world, and I'll go small scale here, just talking about the world here in Charlotte, would be the world of fintech, recognizing the product that Cubix is developing, how can make an impact in their business, and us actually being able to close the business here in Denver would be success.
What does it take timeline for you to create success? Is it 6 months? Is it 10 years? Is it 2 days?
It depends on what part that you're talking about. If you're talking about potential business, because that's really what all this is about, exposure, and then hopefully somebody, it sparks an idea in one of these companies, brain trust to be able to deploy us in some way or another. Typically, in the technology that we have, about a 6 month timeline. Now, success could come tomorrow with somebody making an investment.
Yeah.
I'd also call that a success. but short of that, every piece of business that we close, that's a milestone for us. That's okay. What I do.
So, Sheena, what's success?
I think we have small wins. I didn't do my first startup that I try to adjust my second startup, my mentors, my advisors, my friends. They always like, you don't celebrate your small wins enough. So the small wins is, getting someone who's unbanked signed up. It's taking someone from a predatory economy to an option that's better for them. To me, those are small wins. So in the end, the overall success, in my opinion, equates to the legacy that's left. And I feel like no one actually knows their legacy until they're gone. So I can't really tell you what the success will be, but I can say what the small wins will be.
Fair enough. Points. What's success? And what does it take to get there?
Yeah, I think success for us would definitely, if we can, kind of grow out some of the partnerships that we're looking for and continue to grow and acquire new users. We're definitely generating revenue, and we're happy with what we've been able to do so far. But the whole point of being at an accelerator, right, is to accelerate. So we want to reach that next level. As far as getting there, I think it's really just a testament to what Christian was saying earlier, just to continue to knock on those doors and try to beat them down, and kind of lean on QC FinTech to kind of, help us open those doors. And also, like Jim said, if we can raise money as well, that would be huge. That's ideally what we want to do.
Right. Christian?
Yeah, I agree with all those. I think success in general, I try not to look at it as a monetary thing anymore, just having started this. Just because the amount of knowledge that I've gained, I think it's just success in itself. Like, I don't feel like I can't not do anything now coming out of this. So I think that in itself is super valuable. But yeah, obviously, being able to say that, my end goal is being able to say that, Coins is like a household name that people really rely on to help build habits on paying off debt, and being able to say that we've paid off millions and millions of dollars in the U.S. and around the world would be super, super humbling.
And my apologies, I should have asked this as the first question at the very beginning. Are you raising money currently? And we'll start, since we'll go back down here, we'll stay with Coins, and we'll go Sheena, and then we'll end up with Jim.
Yes. Yeah. Do you want to know, how much, or you just want to know, are we?
Yes. Feel free to share terms if you want to. You don't have to.
Yeah, yes, we are, and we're trying to raise $1 million by the end of the year, or Q1 of this year.
Okay. Have you raised money previously, or is this your first?
This will be our first.
First raise?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, we are raising. Because a startup, you're always raising. Yeah. Like, even if your round is not open, I think you're always raising. So, yes, we have raised before. We raised on a safe. We'll figure out pre-seed.
Yep.
And starting 1st of January, so Q1, we'll open up for our seed round, which is for $2 million, which is, let me say, a West Coast seed.
Okay.
Apparently, $2 million South is like Series A. So a West Coast seed, so we're raising $2 million starting Q1.
Okay. Awesome. Jim?
Initial $500,000 to get us to a minimum viable product.
Okay.
And another 1.5 to completely go to production.
Okay.
Have a production ready model.
Okay. Awesome. So, great experience, man. I don't know if I mentioned it today or not. One of the cool things about being up here and talking with y'all was to get y'all choose to go run knock down doors, right? So what y'all are doing with your own individual businesses is amazing, and the number of doors that you have to knock down on a daily basis is amazing. So all I have to do is go knock down one now, and you knock down 10 a day. So thanks for sitting down and kind of sharing your story with us, sharing it with the listeners. We certainly wish you the best of luck, and I'm excited about the demo day in November. So I'll be really excited to see where y'all are at that stage of the ballgame. So good luck, guys.
Thank you.
Great interview for the three founders who are part of the QC FinTech Class 7 here in Charlotte. Again, they do their demo day this upcoming Monday, November 20th. Would love to have you out. I know Dan and Sarah and the rest of the gang at Queen City FinTech and Packer Place would love to have you there as well. It's being held downtown at the New Bearings Building, so come check out the New Bearings Building and hear some great, great companies pitch. And while you're at it, stick around for next week. Next week, Thanksgiving week, we're going to release our podcast a little early. Maybe see if you can catch it while you're driving or while you're waiting on a slow day to close out on Tuesday or Wednesday. So we've got a great first part of a two-part series with Tom Rue, who is the president and CEO of NCIDEA. Tom has a ton of experience in the startup world, not only himself, but also developing and nurturing the ecosystems that support him. I thought it was really important to talk with Tom about NCIDEA and what their level of support is here in Charlotte, and what's their mission and vision statement, what are the programs that they run, and then how can Charlotte companies benefit from what Tom and the rest of the folks up there at NCIDEA are doing for the great state of North Carolina as they build out the ecosystem. So stay tuned next week. We'd love to have you join us here on the Charlotte Angel Connection. William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates also does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments herein described may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interest may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A-51A under the Company Act, or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interest. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.